In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again, we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, that we may listen to you, to whatever you have to tell us, as we pray today about the role of the lay faithful in the Church and in the world. And Lord, we can open the Gospel of St. John to the 17th chapter, that long so-called priestly prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer of yours to the Father in the Last Supper. And we read, I have given them your word. And Lord, you're speaking about the apostles, praying to the Father, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. Lord, you came into this world. You became incarnate. You, who are infinite, pure spirit as God, took our limited human flesh. God became man, and now you want the lay faithful to be in the world too. And as you say, they are not of the world, as you yourself are not of the world, in the sense that they are not worldly. You are not worldly. In the world, yes, but not worldly. And you say, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them so that they can be leaven in the dough, salt of the earth, light of the world, that they can make an impression on this world, that they can lead this world to God. And Lord, this is the mission of the lay faithful, to be in the world, sanctifying it. Before Vatican II, in canon law, the lay faithful were defined as those who were not priests or religious, defined by something they were not by a mission, but by exclusion of priesthood and religious life. But in the Second Vatican Council, the lay faithful were described as those who have a mission in the world, a special vocation. Let us read what the Second Vatican Council's dogmatic constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, said about the role of the lay faithful. This is in paragraph 31 of Lumen Gentium. By reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. They live in the world, that is, they are engaged in each and every work and business of the earth and in the ordinary circumstances of social and family life, which, as it were, constitute their very existence. There they are called by God, that being led by the Spirit of the Gospel, they may contribute to the sanctification of the world as from within, like leaven, by fulfilling their own particular duties. Thus, especially by the witness of their life, resplendent in faith, hope, and charity, they must manifest Christ to others. it pertains to them in a special way, so to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are so closely associated, that these may be effected and grow according to Christ, and may be to the glory of the Creator and Redeemer. A beautiful mission, to engage in temporal affairs and direct them according to God's will. The lay faithful, then, are those who have a mission in the world, to sanctify the world from within, to be the leaven, the salt, the light, to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are so closely associated. And two paragraphs later, number 33, in that same document, we read, "The laity, however, are given this special vocation, to make the church present and fruitful in those places and circumstances where it is only through them that she can become the salt of the earth. Thus, every lay person, through those gifts given to him, is at once the witness and the living instrument of the mission of the church itself, according to the measure of Christ's bestowal." To make the church present in the world, and as that council document says, to make the church present in those places and circumstances where it is only through them that she can become the salt of the earth. Places where the clergy, the religious, are not present. The lay faithful are present everywhere, and they have that great mission to bring Christ into the world. This is the role of the lay faithful. And what elements should a lay mentality have? First, love and interest for the things of the world. Yes, we are interested in the church too, but above all, our place in the world and our interest and love is for the things of the world. That the lay faithful be very aware of current affairs, of what is going on in politics, international relations, the world of culture, of sport, of economics, of education, of the family, to be in the world with a lay mentality, interest in these affairs, and love for those affairs, because this is the place of the lay faithful, that they read the newspapers and magazines, that they watch the news and current affairs programs, to be conversant with what is going on, so that they can converse in turn with their fellow man, their fellow lay faithful in that workplace, in the neighborhood, in the associations to which they belong, to have a truly lay mentality, to feel at home in the world. Yes, this world is drifting, if not running headlong, away from God. But precisely, this is why the lay faithful are so important. To slow down that rush away from God, to bring the world back to God, to help individuals and the very institutions of society to become more Christian, to come closer to God. This is a great task, a great mission. So the first element of a lay mentality is love and interest for the things of the world. The second, a deep interior life, a love for God, a life of faith, hope, and love. In a word, holiness. Holiness of life. All are called to holiness. All in the church by their very baptism. But the lay faithful, because they are immersed in this world, which can often be very secularized, pagan, hedonistic, need to be more immersed in God than anyone, so that they are truly salt, which can give flavor, light, which has brightness. Without holiness of life, without a deep interior life, the lay faithful are going to become secularized, paganized themselves. It is so important that they have that deep interior life. And Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, on the vocation and mission of the lay faithful in the church and in the world, writes about the importance of holiness. In paragraph 17, he says, "The vocation of the lay faithful to holiness implies that life according to the Spirit expresses itself in a particular way in their involvement in temporal affairs and in their participation in earthly activities. Once again, the Apostle admonishes us, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." St. Paul to the Colossians. And Pope John Paul II goes on, applying the Apostle's words to the lay faithful, the Council categorically affirms, "Neither family concerns nor other secular affairs should be excluded from their religious program of life." Likewise, the Synod Fathers have said, "The unity of life of the lay faithful is of the greatest importance. Indeed, they must be sanctified in everyday professional and social life. Therefore, to respond to their vocation, the lay faithful must see their daily activities as an occasion to join themselves to God, fulfill his will, serve other people, and lead them to communion with God in Christ." And the Holy Father is saying, in essence, two things. First, the lay faithful must struggle to be holy, to be saints. And second, they will find that sanctity, they will live out their holy life, they will live out their spiritual life in the affairs of the world, their secular affairs, everyday professional and social life, their daily activities. So many different ways in which he expresses that. Yes, we can find God in the kitchen, in the laundry, in our office, in our factory, in our car, in the backyard, wherever we are, Lord, we can raise our thoughts to you, our heart to you, and love you, and live presence of God, and offer up these activities that we are engaged in. And that we live out that quotation that the Pope makes from St. Paul to the Colossians, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And for this too, we need to dedicate separate times to prayer, to reading of Scripture, to attending Mass, reading spiritual books, praying the rosary, other vocal prayers, that we have time set aside for prayer in its various forms so that our candle is truly lit and our salt has flavor. And then we will find you in the kitchen, in the laundry, in the factory, and in our office, wherever we are. That we not neglect our spiritual life. It is so important for our mission of lay faithful in the world. So the second element of a lay mentality, a deep interior life. And third, a solid doctrinal formation. Because, Lord, we need to bring the teachings of the church into the world, to bring them to bear on our professional life, on our family life, on our education, wherever we are. But we need to know our faith well in order to do that. Because our colleagues will ask us, "Why do you Catholics oppose abortion? Why are you against euthanasia or contraception or whatever it might be?" And we need, as St. Peter writes in his first letter, to be able to give an account of the hope that is in us. This great hope of eternal life, this relationship with God. But can we explain it to others? They will ask, and we should be able to explain our faith to them and bring it to bear on whatever we are engaged in the world. And then if our faith is attacked, to be able to defend it. But for that, we need to know it. and especially Catholic social doctrine, that body of teaching on all those aspects of social life from the realm of work, of employment, education, the family, society itself, the dignity of the human person, to know that Catholic social doctrine. And for that, we can read that beautiful document from the Holy See, the Compendium of Catholic Social Teaching. Then we can give an account of the hope that is in us. So the third element of a lay mentality, a solid doctrinal formation. The fourth, the desire and effort to acquire prestige in our temporal affairs. No matter what we are doing, whether we are a student, whether we are a housewife, whether we are a banker, a businessman, an office worker, a coal miner, a truck driver, wherever we are, to have professional prestige, because then our colleagues will listen to us. If they respect us, if they admire us for how well we work, if they can come to us with questions about their work and we can answer them, then when they have questions about their spiritual life, about their family life, when they are worried, they will come to us because they respect us. If they were to look down on us because we are lazy, we are sloppy, we don't have a good reputation, they're not going to come to us with those other issues. And Lord, we want them to be able to do that, that we have a great professional prestige within the possibilities of each one. Some have more talents than others. And for that professional prestige, that we work hard, that perhaps we read professional journals, we read books about our profession, we join professional associations. Perhaps we can be a leader there, one of the directors. Then people will look up to us, and then we can help them find God, and we can use our profession to bring Christ and Christian values into that realm of work. And the fifth element of a lay mentality, to be involved in secular activities, to be involved. Not to run away from the world. Lord, you did not ask the apostles to be taken from the world, but to stay there, to be in the world without being worldly. And that means being involved in the world in whichever way each one of us can. For many, to be involved in professional associations, to be involved in trade unions, to be involved in political parties, to join the local branch, cultural associations, sporting associations, educational associations, parents and friends, pro-life groups, family associations, whatever the interests of each one, but to be involved. It's a little bit difficult at times to get out of the comfort of our lounge room and to go out at night to that meeting of that body, whatever it might be. But there we are Christ present in that group. We are bringing the light of Christ, who but for us will otherwise be lacking. Lord, that we be there. Perhaps we can be involved by writing letters to the editor of newspapers, of magazines, engaging in talkback radio, to think, how can I be more involved in this world? And of course, to vote in elections, to form ourselves well beforehand, to talk with our friends about the issues. We don't all have to vote for the same party, but at least we know the issues, and we are encouraging our friends to think about this or that value, which is so important for society, to be involved. And then, sixth, to have a correct vision of the role of the laity in the church and in the world. And it is what we have been considering in this meditation, that the role of the laity is in the world, to engage in temporal affairs and order them according to the law of God. The laity are, so to speak, the troops in the trenches, in this great army of faithful, engaged in a battle of sowing peace and joy in the world. The troops in the front lines. The bishops, the priests are assisting the lay faithful, but they're not in the trenches. The lay faithful are. And to know that this is where they belong, to be in the world, to be in those places where the bishops, the priests, the religious don't go, because the lay faithful are everywhere, in every neighborhood, in every workplace, and there to bring these Christian values, these Christian ideals. The laity are, as it were, the soul of society. And let us read some beautiful words from a very early Christian document, the Letter of Diognetus. We read there, to put it briefly, the relation of Christians to the world is that of a soul to the body. As the soul is diffused through every part of the body, so are Christians through all the cities of the world. The soul, too, inhabits the body, while at the same time forming no part of it. And Christians inhabit the world, but they are not part of the world. The soul, invisible herself, is immured within a visible body. So Christians can be recognized in the world, but their Christianity itself remains hidden from the eye. The flesh hates the soul and wars against her without any provocation, because she is an obstacle to its own self-indulgence. And the world similarly hates the Christians without provocation, because they are opposed to its pleasures. And Lord, you said it, that the world would hate the apostles, hate Christians. But let us read your words. We find them in the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, still in the Last Supper. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all this they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. And Lord, we will find that. If we are engaged in the affairs of the world, there will be many who will not like us, because we are challenging their paganism, their self-indulgence, their hedonism. They don't want to hear it. And our very presence challenges them, because they know we are leading a good life, that we have a different set of values. But Lord, we need to be there in spite of being hated, of being criticized for our values. We need to espouse those values and make them prevail. Another paragraph from that beautiful letter of Diognetus. Christians pass their lives in whatever township, Greek or foreign, each man's lot has determined, and conform to ordinary local usage in their clothing, diet, and other habits. Nevertheless, the organization of their community does exhibit some features that are remarkable and even surprising. For instance, though they are residents at home in their own countries, their behavior there is more like that of transients, passing through. They take their full part as citizens, but they also submit to anything and everything as if they were aliens. For them, any foreign country is a motherland, and any motherland is a foreign country. Like other men, they marry and beget children, though they do not expose their infants. Any Christian is free to share his neighbor's table, but never his marriage bed. In other words, in the world, but not worldly. They are in every aspect of society, but they are different. They have Christian values, and even their motherland, their home country, is not their definitive home, which is heaven. What a beautiful mission the lay faithful have. And then finally, another element, the seventh, of our lay mentality, respect for the freedom and opinions of others in temporal matters. Because yes, we come as Christians into this world, and we have our own set of values, which are Christian. But there are different ways of implementing those same teachings and values. One can belong to this political party or another, and find different but equally valid solutions to the problems of unemployment, for example, inflation, social inequality. There can be different solutions, and we should respect the ideas, the solutions of other people. There's not one unique Catholic solution to various social problems. Yes, there are some aspects in which there can be only one Christian approach. We must be against abortion, of course, and euthanasia, and embryonic stem cell research, and in vitro fertilization. We don't want to vote for laws that favor those ideas. But in other things, freedom. That we can converse with our fellow man, our fellow citizen, about these ideas and differ and respect one another's views. Lord, this is our mission, to be in the world, but not of the world, to bring you into this world, to Christianize society as from within, like leaven, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Is this easy today? It's not easy at all. In most countries, the values, the laws, the ideas of so many people are quite contrary to Christian values. But that is why we are here. And let us never forget, there are 1.3 billion Catholics in this world. If we had these ideas, if we had this formation, if we were truly seeking holiness, we would make a big difference. As Catholics are making a big difference in many countries, and yes, assisted by others, by Muslims, by other Christians, by other people of like mind. We can work together to foster those values, to make society a better place. We finish our prayer and we go to Our Lady. Mary, you were in the world too. You spent your whole life as a mother, as a housewife, and sanctifying your ordinary work and talking with your friends and helping them to see those values that your Son brought into the world. Help us to be in the world, but not of the world, to bring your Son's teachings, your Son's values, into this paganized society to make it more Christian. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.